You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This podcast is brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The JSE has closed its doors for another day and for another quarter and also for the half year of 2020. Can you believe it? It's June the 30th. The half year has flown by. With me tonight on the double-header dream team is David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and he's accompanied by Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. Where did that 6 month go, David Shapiro? Where has it gone? Because it seems to me I was just talking about the coronavirus just becoming part of our consciousness, but now it's 6 months later. It's been extraordinary, hasn't it?
6 months, yeah. It's 3 months I've been sitting in this hole where I am at the moment. They're eating the same food every day. So it's been a long 6 months from that point of view. But I mean, from the market point of view, it's gone pretty fast. And you know, to be honest, honestly, Lindsay, I think that where we are at the moment is a lot better than I thought we would be 3 months ago.
Me
so
too.
There's a bit of relief. I think the next 6 months is going to be very interesting, and that's what's going to be probably what we're going to be discussing, you know, shortly and over the next couple of weeks. That's going to be very interesting.
Quite right. Nick, my theme of this week has been the second wave, whether it be the second wave of COVID-19 infections and deaths, or whether it be the second wave of selling, or the second wave. Maybe the market vaults its way higher, but I'm sort of getting in the sense when I look at the S&P, it's just battling. And I don't mind it battling. It can consolidate and then have another leg up or go down. I don't care, but it really is very, very quiet this week. It's not a damp squib, but I do think people are sort of taking a deep breath and saying, okay, let's get July the 4th out of the way, and then next week we'll see what happens. But something is happening, certainly when it comes to COVID-19.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think, the first, almost like the last month or two is almost surreal. You know, we've had these huge spike ups. We've had the biggest, it's going to be one of the best quarters on the S&Ps for 22 years if it closes where it is in the next couple of hours, which I'm sure it will. Same for Europe, the best sort of return in a decade. We're the same 20 odd years in South Africa the last time. But I get the feeling, and I concur with both of you that, you know, we've got 2-3 days left. America shut on the Friday, but the second half of this year might be, I guess, I don't think the easy money is going to be made. And it almost feels like this S&P now, after rallying almost 1,000 points in the last 3 months, it's starting to get that little churn about it. And I think, the next push higher or the break lower is going to be what's needed. But I think we're almost at a reflection point in the next couple of weeks to see where we go.
Before I get to the markets, it's Tuesday, so it's Tuesday trade day. I'm still long of Mr. Price, and I'm going to stick with that just for a couple more days. And I'm going to have a look at my position on the 10-year South African government bond, which I shorted in anticipation of the yield going higher. It was 9.33.5. It's 9.26.5 at the moment, so I'm 7 points in the red. But I do think that is still going to be a winner. So I'm holding both those positions. I'm sort of starting to think now, maybe I should be short of the NASDAQ, because I don't like the Facebook story with these advertisers starting to have a go at them. I know their shares were down 3% last night, and then they recovered as the rest of the market recovered because of Boeing doing so well. But I'm just not convinced about it. Nick, can I continue with you? How do I get short of the NASDAQ just for a couple of weeks? What do you think?
Well, first of all, that's very brave, because you typically don't want to short. You typically don't want to short something that's running. You don't want to pick a top. You know, the very
Hello?
Basics.
Yeah, you're still there, David. Don't worry. Yeah. Nick's telling me about the NASDAQ, and he tells me I'm very brave.
What I was saying to both of you, and certainly to Lindsay, who wants to short the NASDAQ, is, it sounds on principle it's run too hard. You're worried about a few things. But from a trading point of view, being trading Tuesday, is that the first lesson you learn when you trade for a living is that you want to try and get out of your stocks that are not making money, and you want to let your winners ride. So I don't know if you want to pick a top in the NASDAQ yet. That's my comment on it. But if you want to do it, there are a number of ways you can do it. You can sell a NASDAQ future, so you can just go net short.
Yes.
Or which is a little bit more expensive way of doing it because you get gearing. And of course that comes with its risk. And you've got to roll that contract. So it becomes a little bit of a cost. I guess the cleaner way to do it for a trader who wants to short the NASDAQ is you do it via the ETF, which is called the triple Qs. That okay. is the code that is traded. It's QQQ. And that is just like selling the actual shares. And you get the triple Q minis as well, which is cheaper. So that would be my advice. Take a punt on that. You want to short the NASDAQ? Go for the triple Qs, which is the ETF.
Can I do a Facebook on its own? Can I sell Facebook?
You can indeed. You could sell.
Tell me.
I would advocate rather pick – if you don't like a particular stock, rather do that than do the sector because – as you've seen in the past, you know, the market is not necessarily where things are. You know, the 5 shares are dragging us higher. So take Facebook. The code would be FB, as in Facebook.
Yes.
Incidentally, a little bit of history. The only reason that it didn't go in the S&Ps and listed on the NASDAQ is because they promised Mr. Zuckerberg the code FB, which was the game changer. Because all the Mellers have 3 denominations, but he's got 2, so FB. So you can short the Facebook directly on the NASDAQ as well.
Okay, I'm going to do that. David Shapiro is back with us now because he's in obviously a very poor area of Johannesburg, or not a poor area, but an area with poor Wi-Fi service. I was talking about my Tuesday trade, David, being short of Facebook, not necessarily NASDAQ. Mm. I just think to myself that the Facebook story is starting to become not sinister, but a little bit suspect. Mm. Do you not agree? Because there are some major companies withdrawing big, big advertising.
Look, they can't afford to do so because if you don't advertise through Facebook or you don't advertise through Google or Alphabet, and especially Facebook with Instagram, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. But let's see, you know, at the moment, I think it's an issue. And a lot of companies are taking a stand, trying to force Facebook now to relook at their policy. Whether they go through with it full, you know, and completely withdraw advertising is going to be debatable. But results will come out soon, and you could be right. You know, if there's any mention and we start to see evidence of, slowing in advertising, then or really the guidance, you know, maybe because it's a bit too late for that, but guidance, you could be right. And it's a kind of company of all the big ones that I think the people like to hate the most because I don't think Zuckerberg's got the image of the, of Gates or Bezos or such an
endeavor. He's got no charisma, David. You don't warm to him, do you? You really don't warm to him.
No.
He seems like a, not a nasty character, cold, but he seems exactly a cold fish, that chap. What do you think?
I would second what David is saying is that the results are due on the 22nd of July. So you can either wait till those results are out or you can take a stab beforehand. Just incidentally, the short interest on Facebook is starting to creep up. It normally was quite low. It's now starting to go into sort of like 3-4%, which implies that, Lindsay, you're not the only person thinking of this idea. So that's another thing actually to bear in mind when you talk about shorting shares, that it does cost you to go short because you pay interest.
Yes.
But, Facebook trading at $220 per share at the moment. It's bounced back from obviously the lows of where it was down at almost 150. So it's $100 up. So it's been a good run. So, maybe it's not a bad short actually.
Okay, write that down. 220. I'm going to go into my online trading account as soon as we put the phone down. And I am going to, just for a short-term thing, you can't buck a trend, and the trend is up for the NASDAQ, etc. Let's have a look at the JSE Securities Exchange today, and let's have a look at David Barlow World. Results for the 6 months ended 31st of March. Down 10%?
10%, yeah.
Yeah, 10%.
So on their numbers, on their numbers. And I think it's just a reflection of what's happening in the global economy and also our economy from lockdown, particularly here. So I've got to admit I haven't gone through the details of the result. I did see the headlines there, and for me it seemed a little disappointing the numbers that we did see. So you're going to have to revert for Nick for a more in-depth analysis.
Well, no, just let me give you the numbers before you come in here, Nick. Revenue down 12.2%. Operating margin 4.4%, down from 5.5%. And that is a really big margin shrinkage. Austerity measures implemented, et cetera. Balance sheet, a key strength for the group. But on the other hand, the share price still down 10%. And so it goes on. And the word challenging is used. The first thing they say is challenging trading conditions. Nick, old school South African company, great company historically, but under enormous pressure at the moment.
Yeah, under enormous pressure. You know, at first glance, we spoke this morning and I came across the wires and I took a look at it and the market didn't really, you know, it sort of, it took a look at them and they were trading at 78 Rand. And then obviously, I think as they dissected the news or as typically, I think there was a conference call to shareholders at 10 o'clock this morning, and obviously they said something in the call and carried on sliding. So, but at first glance, it I don't think it was overly bad. The problem you've got is that, and I must add, it's not expensive. It's not a 10 PE and not a bad dividend yield. But they're operating in a sector which is at the forefront of everything that they don't want to be. They're in logistics. They're in, you know, Caterpillar earth moving material, engines. They're in, I can go on and on, agricultural equipment, warehousing, lift trucks, everything that is used when the world is turning and the economy is turning. And the economy is not turning. And we don't know when it's going to start getting back to where it was. So I think they're almost at just the wrong place at the wrong time. Not a bad run business, but they've got their challenges. They really do.
Okay.
And they make a lot of money from the servicing of Caterpillar.
Correct.
But, you know, if mining is slowing down and construction slowing down, you know, they've sold out of Iberia, which was, you know, but they're still in Siberia. And I don't know what happened there. That's why I say I haven't seen the results. But it's for them, it's a disappointing result because they're normally a steady performer. They've also got underground equipment, mining equipment as well, which they recently bought. So it's just unfortunately in the wrong place at the moment. It's a company.
And I think also like maybe the easy money has been made. You know, since the lows of sort of end of March, early April, like when everything else sold off, they were down at, you know, 55 Rand. They opened at 70 bucks this morning, you know, and also, I mean, you know, it's had a decent bounce back already. And again, this might be another one of those ones to open our conversation about the second half of this year. This could just go sideways for them.
Yeah. You know? Well, they're trying to get out of the deal with Tonga, you know. They wanted to buy the glucose company.
But that's still ongoing.
And that's got to go to arbitration. They claim that there's a phrase that they claim, which I can't remember, which is basically, you know, that they've been damaged by COVID. And Tonga are saying, no, not at all. You know, there's nothing's really changed. This is not a business that's been hurt by the pandemic. Barlo will claim it has. And therefore are able to get out of it. So it's going to arbitration, which is not a, you know, when you're in a situation like that, it just shows, listen, we don't really want this deal. We want to get out of it. Let's find a smart lawyer.
Yeah.
South Africa. Let's move on now. Barlo World is not something I would. Anything that involves moving goods and services around at the moment, when I still think there's going to be a second wave. This is my theme for the week, as I said earlier on. Second wave of economic downturn, second wave of coronavirus, and second wave of selling and volatility. South Africa's recession deepened in this first quarter of 2020, Nick, with official data on Tuesday showing that GDP contracted 2% from the previous 3 months, led by declines in mining and manufacturing. I think 2%, I think we've got away with it there.
I mean, the forecast was for a 4.5%, I think, or 4.4%. I had 4.5% contraction on my screen. And a 2% is a lot better. But look, I take it with a pinch of salt. And once again, you know, this was up until obviously the first quarter, so the end of March. So it doesn't incorporate, obviously, the second quarter is going to, GDP numbers are going to be a disaster. And yeah, I suppose you'd have to say this is a little bit better than expected because, if you remember, Lindsay, the first half of the year, the first part of the year, there were concerns before COVID about a slowing SA economy and concerns of the downgrades, etc. So, yeah, you're right. They may have dodged a little bit of a bullet, but you know, in this fast-moving world, you know, up to March is old news for me, unfortunately.
Stats SA said mining contracted by 21.5% between January and March. That's a massive, massive fall. While manufacturing was down a mere 8.5%. Obviously, we know why. And obviously, we have to sort of adhere to the fact that the market has already factored that in. But on the other hand, it's the next quarter and the quarter after that and the quarter after that that is going to be the key. Mm. We understand what the pandemic has done. We understand what the lockdown has done. But it's what happens from here that is absolutely key. So, yeah, that's why companies like Barlow World must be treated with a good deal of caution. What else happened today? Stock Exchange News Service was quite thin, quite skinny on news. Did you see anything outside of that, Nick?
No, I didn't actually. I mean, I saw quite a positive sort of broker's note doing the rounds with after Redefine had sold off their one of the operations, and I think they sold off their students' housing in Down Under in Australia or something like that. And it was quite a positive note. First bit of positive news I've seen out of the property sector. But in general, once again, yeah, very, very thin on the news flow. I mean, don't forget, a lot of the action today was in Naspers and Prosus. I've seen a lot of broker notes doing around, like completely different views.
Oh, really?
From buy recommendations to sell.
Well, I like that. It's a democracy. It's a buyer needs a seller. So off you go. What is the consensus?
Well, the general consensus is there's a lot more upside in the short term from a direct result of them being a beneficiary of this lockdown. And you can see it in the early numbers in their gaming revenues. Their online business and the exposure to Tencent was a huge component. I quite like the sort of Mr. Van Dyke's sort of he's been quite a strong push towards the food delivery business, and they lost out on that bid for, was it Grubhub or one of the ones that you're
saying? Just Eat, I think it was. Yeah.
Something like, yeah, so they lost out on that one, and they seem adamant that they need to get into that sort of space. And then, you know, then I've also seen the one side that the guys are a little bit cautious, saying the stock relative to a lot of metrics is expensive. Again, another one, the easy one was made. I mean, the stock is up, I think, what is it, 30-40% year to date, if you add the two together, Prosus and Naspers. So there's a little bit of concern that the valuations are getting a little bit higher, which might tie into your short NASDAQ theme. You know, these stocks and these tech shares are not cheap anymore.
I'm desperately keen to press the sell button on Facebook, actually, which I'm going to do as via my online trading platform as soon as we finish. Anyway, let's have a look at the spot price.
You know, there's a guy I used to work with who traded the short side a lot. And he always used to say that shorting is a very torturous affair. So just remember that when you sell it. Okay.
Thank you very much. I'll bear that in mind. Dollar rand is 17.32. British pound against the rand is 21.46. And the euro rand is 19.50. With the euro dollar, 1.1260, which is slightly weaker for the dollar, slightly stronger for the euro. Give us the latest Dow Jones, NASDAQ and S&P, please, Nick Kunze.
And I just want to add quickly that, well, we'll get on to it in a sec. Okay, so Dow Jones was quite a bit down, I'd say 0.5% at its worst. It's now back up, as you see, maybe a bit of window dressing. Currently up 62 points of the Dow Jones, or 0.25%. S&P's is up a little bit higher, 0.85%, 24 points. And the NASDAQ is currently back above 10,000, 1.25% firmer. I'm quite interested to hear when you get onto the commodities. There's some interesting moves there.
Oh, yes, there is, because take a photo. The gold price is 1785, a 12-year high, approaching what I think is going to be a record high, actually. What's the record high of gold?
Intraday it's over 1800, but
intra year, I mean, what has been the all-time record high in US dollar terms, never mind inflation or currency related adjustments?
What I did want to say was that that the June contract is only there's like 2 weeks left on it, so a lot of traders are now trading the back month contract in gold, which is September. And that has just breached $1,800 for the first time.
Can you believe it? And that's ridiculous, because there's no interest rate carry. There's no contango. So why is it above 1,800? It's extraordinary.
Okay, so I've got the old high on spot gold. So I'm looking at spot, not
go
the
back,
future,
go back to 1980 or something. Go back as far as you can on your fancy system.
So I've got a high of spot on 26th of September 2011.
Yes.
We're traded 1918.
Oh, okay. We're way away from that. All right.
And then if I go back 20 years in my fancy system, no, that was the high. 2011 September was 1918 was the high.
End of the First World War, 1918. Okay, it's going to breach that before the end of the year. I'm absolutely certain of it. Anyway, the gold price is 1784, rather up 0.2% or $12 an ounce. Platinum is up $14 to 827. Where's palladium, please, Nick Kunze?
And palladium is down, funny enough, down 0.3, but it's only $5, 1897 at the moment.
West Texas Intermediate crude oil in the United States of America is flat at $39.71, and Brent crude oil is 1.2% weaker at $41.22 or 49 cents per barrel. Very, very interesting. The gold price. Maybe the gold price is telling us something, Nick. What do you think? Do you think the gold is a leader or a laggard?
I think it's a leader, and I think only because of recently that more and more people who I count as the clever voices have started to sort of for the first time. So we need to look at this. We need to take a look at gold and what it's telling us.
We really do. Top five major moves on the JSE Securities Exchange. Italtal up nearly 9%. Harmony up 7.2%, obviously linked to the gold price and the relative weakness in the South African rand. PSG Consult up 4.3%. Redefine up 3.75%. And Vivo up 3.75%. Yeah, none of those really excite me apart from Harmony. Barlow World, we've spoken about that, down 10.5%. Hammerson down nearly 7%. TFG down 6.25%. MTN down 4.33%. Actually 4.4%. And Growthpoint down 4%. So we've got Hammerson and Growthpoint, both property companies. I still hate these companies. Oh, don't say hate them. No, that's a harsh word. I still wouldn't touch them with a barge pole.
I just said I've been trying to. I mean, they do. If you look at what's been sold off the most on the JSE All Share in the last sort of 3 months and hasn't bounced back with the rest, for obvious reasons, the property shares are down there. And obviously a lot of people and a lot of clients unfortunately had exposure to, not through us, but through their own choice into. I mean, I think a lot of people around South Africa held that share, and it's just a shocking story. And I think that's what makes me also like you skeptical about getting involved in these property shares now. And I saw a really good note one of our guys put out this afternoon, just giving their loan values, you know, how much debt they've got on their books relative to their property. But I didn't realize that these property shares in South Africa are extremely indebted, extremely. So yes, I would say buy a caution, be very careful if you think they offer a bargain for now.
Nick, please give me the closing JSE indices on this day, the last day of the quarter and the half year as well. Extraordinary. Go on.
Yeah, so before we touch the local one, just quickly, we've just had the closing prices over in Europe. That's just closed now. So the Stock 600 in Europe is closed up 12.7 cent for quarter two. That's the best quarterly gain since March 2015. And the DAX also closing the day up 0.9%. Closer to home with us, look at JSE All Share up 0.41%, 220 points firmer. Nice day today. Top 40 as well, 0.5% firmer at 254 points up. Back above 50,000. At 50,174. And individual indices, if we look at the leaders, that was the gold mining index, 1.25% on the day, followed by the platinum miners, that was down by 0.43%, financials down 0.72%, general retailers, also not a great day, 1.7%, and taking up down on the bottom of the market was the industrials, closing down 3.17%.
And the value
value traded was 19 billion value traded.
Okay, so we for the last couple of days we've seen a sort of a slack off. Do you think it's anything to do with the fact that it's a short week in the United States?
I think completely to that. I think a lot of people sort of wanted that. I think a lot of people closed their books off on Friday.
Yes.
As in like asset managers and stuff for the quarter. Unit Trust obviously closed off today, but a lot did it on the Friday, last Friday of the month. And of the quarter. So I think a little bit dying off now. I mean, I've actually had a few people saying, look, we need to do a Zoom call, catch up on Friday afternoon because Friday is going to be quiet. So I think a lot of people, you know, factoring in a four-day week this week.
Tolkien said the following about gold. If I can just get that thing that's just popped up on me. Doesn't it annoy you when something pops up on your screen when you're about to try to read something? Anyway, Tolkien, J.R. Tolkien, said the following. All that is gold does not glitter, Not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. I don't know what that means, but all I'm saying is that gold is doing rather well at the moment, and it may not glitter or glister, but it's certainly doing very well at the moment at, what is that, 2012? Yes, an 8-year high. Nick Kunzer, thank you very much for your time, and in absentia to David Shapiro from Sasserin Securities, and Nick will speak again in the morning. Nick Kunzer is from Sandland Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.